God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. Newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you. Anyone can use the chat function to send their phone number to the newcomer privately. I just enabled that, so I'll leave that up for a few minutes if anybody wants to send their number. Preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open Big Book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we're discussing steps 8 and 9. The first part, we have more on that next week. And please welcome our panel this evening, Vanessa and Ian. All right. And I will be reading the first paragraph on page 76. And the panel will share for a few minutes on each reading. Let me pull it up. All right. Page 76. Now we need more action, without which we will find that faith without works is dead. Let's look at steps 8 and 9. We have a list of all persons we have harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. We made it when we took inventory. We subjected ourselves to a drastic self-appraisal. Now we go out to our fellows and repair the damage done in the past. We attempt to sweep away the debris which has accumulated out of our effort to live on self-will and run the show ourselves. If we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. Remember, it was agreed at the beginning we would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol. And who would like to go first, Vanessa or Ian?
I think Ian's going to tell me to go, so I'm going to go ahead and go. Hey, great. Hi, I'm Vanessa. I'm an alcoholic. So great to see you all today. Where'd Kendra go? I don't know where she went, but I love it when people's animals just like sit on the keyboard, and I saw her cat before. I love that. It cracks me up. And I think it's because we are looking at our computers so much these days with Zoom and everything, right? It's a good sign. It means you're going to enough meetings, Kendra. And they just are like, no, look at me. And they sit in front of the screen. And you know, it's like the cats, they're just like, they go in there, and even the kids do it sometimes. And I'm like, that was me. That's me. I want your attention, right? Like that was my alcoholism in a nutshell. Like, hello, like, look at me. I'm gonna sit on your keyboard. I don't care if I break your computer. You have to look at me, pay attention, you know? And that was me when I was drinking, really. I wanna go back. First, I'm gonna ask my higher power to help me set aside everything I think I know so I may have a new experience, an open mind and know truth today. I want to just go back and I want to say the 7-step prayer. There's a couple of things that I add to it, which you'll hear. My creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character that stands in the way of my being useful to you and to my fellows. Grant me strength and courage as I go out from here to do your bidding. Take my will and my life. Grant me another 24 hours clean and sober. This God, or something better. Amen. So I add just a little bit to that prayer. I really like, I have a sponsor that taught me that. And I put encourage myself as an extra thing, because when I'm asking God to grant me strength, I added the courage when I was doing my eight step. Because I was like, oh, I need some courage to like put this stuff together, because I know where it's headed. Like, we're not stupid, right? Like, we know. It's like, it's kind of like, you know, reading the end of the book, the mystery book, right? Before, like, going straight to the last page, you know, to see who did it before, you know. It's like, I know the ninth step is coming when I'm writing the eighth. I know the eighth step is coming when I'm writing my fourth, you know, which is why I really need to be doing this with someone else. A sponsor, a fellow who can help check me a little bit, you know? So I love that seven step prayer. And then it says, we have then completed step seven, but now we need more action, right? So we've identified these things that are objectionable. We've asked God to remove them. We've prayed. Not only have we prayed to have these defects removed, but we've prayed that God take everything good and bad, right? And it's like, I don't know, it's interesting to think about that. I think about it, I've heard it's, someone Ian and I both know has spoken about how it's good and bad because I can't discern what's good and bad, right? Like sometimes I might think something that's great that I do is not, as we know from pages 60 to 63, right? But I also think it can be because, well, yeah, no, I guess it's the same thing. It's really like, it's really those times that I really think I'm doing good. And also could be take my ego for when I'm doing good, you know, because I don't need that to come back and bite me, right? So just take it all. Has God everything or has God nothing? Right? And of course, we're talking about God, and that God is your God. When I say God, I'm saying your God. Whatever God it is, could be 100, well, how many people we got here? 38. So there's 38 different gods in this room right now, right? For me, it's a spirit. So when I say God, you just replace that with your God, whatever that is. And so where was I? Okay, so we need more action. So that action that we take is in the form of this list that we have already made, right? We made it in our inventory when we took inventory. And the way that I take inventory, it's really clear because I have a little spot on my inventory that says harms. And I write the harm that I've caused, you know? So after in my fourth column, after I've done the fear, the next thing I do is I write the harms. And when I go back and I look at my inventory to make this, to like actually write, I use index cards, and I write on each index card, I put the person's name or the institution or whatever it is I put on that card. And so when I go back through my inventory, I'm usually looking at two places. I'm looking at the place where I wrote harms. And then for me, because I'm so bad, I often forget to write in the harms. Sometimes I find some harms in my realization. I do a realization in my fourth column, or at the beginning of my fourth column. And that's like, you know, have I ever done the thing in column two to the person in column one? I ask myself that. Have I done it to others? And if the answer is yes, I've done it to others, then sometimes I'll have a name in there. And if I forget to put that name in my harms, then it also goes on my list. So I'm getting over detailed. So anyway, so that's the list is all those harms that I listed in my four step. There might be some additional that come to mind. That's happened to me before too, where it's not in that particular inventory, but I'm like, you know what? I have this other thing that's on my mind, and I don't have a resentment associated with it, but it's definitely a harm that I caused. And that's fine too. I can write that down as well. So I take these cards and I write these things down. It says we subjected ourselves to drastic appraisal, which that's the inventory that we just did. And now we have to go out to these fellows and repair the damage. We attempt to sweep away the debris which has accumulated. out of our effort to live on self-will and run the show ourselves. But I have just done 6 and 7, and I have really made that effort with my higher power and that connection to say, no, really, you're taking everything. And if I don't have the will to do this, it says we ask, we pray until it comes. So then I will sit and I will pray and I will pray and I will pray for that willingness, that courage, that strength. And it says, remember, it was agreed upon in the beginning that we would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol. And I can ask myself, am I still willing? Am I still willing to do that? And I can look back at page 58 where I wrote, and I have my sponsees and I've been taught to write a little contract on page 58 where it asks, am I willing to go to any lengths? And I write my sobriety date there. And I go back there and I revisit that and I look at that question. I say, am I willing to go to any lengths? Because this is a scary moment for some people. And I have to really consider that. I'm going to pause so that Ian can share and we'll move on.
Thanks, Vanessa. And, you know, so I think if you were on last week, and if you weren't, so Vanessa and I come from the same lineage of going through the big book, and probably some of the stuff we may say is a little different than you may do it or have done it. And it's not that the way you're doing it's wrong or the way we're doing it's right. And that's why I love Vanessa said the set aside prayer is just to be open to hear our experience, because it may be different than yours. So, you know, one of the things Vanessa said, and I'll just kind of circle back to it, which is important for me in this process, is when we write a fourth step in the resentment inventory, we do a first and second column, and then we do an extended third column where we actually look at the 7 areas of self and how it affected us, and then we look at the fears that drove it. And then as we transition from the third column to the fourth column, we do a realization exercise to transition the third and fourth column. So it, for two reasons. First of all, I can carry it into my 10th step later on, because I get to look at the thing I'm resentful at somebody doing to me. I get to say to myself, which says in the book, it says we realize that the people who wronged us were perhaps spiritually sick like us. And I like to use spiritually separated, because I think the word sick is a judgment that got transitioned later on. But, and the reason we do it is, so if I'm resentful at somebody for gossiping about me or stealing from me, I get to ask myself, have I ever gossiped about them or anyone else? Have I ever stole from them or anyone else? So I'm not sitting up on this pedestal resentful at somebody when I do the same thing to other people. And it's a great transition tool. And again, in the 10th step, and not that we're there, but I can just throw this in there, it's a great tool in the 10th step, because if I have something that pops up fast, I can also say, oh, I'm pissed at this person, but I've done it to them and other people. And it also shows some of the harms that we've done too, as we look at other people, we've done stuff. And and I love that Vanessa did the prayer, because the 7-step prayer, because it's really, and we talked about it last week, this is where the relationship for me and my higher power, God, really start going hand in hand. Some of the promises in the 3rd and the 5th step come true, like I'm walking hand in hand with my creator on the broad highway, you know, because I've made the commitment here to get out of the business of judging anybody. You know, we give it all to God, even myself. Like, I don't judge me, the good, the bad. What's good might be bad. What's bad might be good. But at the end of the thing, it says that, you know, faith without works is dead. And it's a really important, because there's 5 or 6 times in our book that it talks about faith without works is dead, because, you know, it's also the same. I feel that is really important, because I get to look at this book, let's say. You know, I know a lot of people that know every the but and dot in this book, but they're not the book. They don't be the book. They just study the book. You know, and this process isn't about the book. It's, we always have to remember that the main object of this book is to enable me to get into a relationship with the power greater than myself, which will solve my problem. And my problem's disconnection from power. And the solution's the connection, the access to the power. And here's where we really come to this point and we move forward. And, you know, a lot of people get frozen on this step. The eighth step is just a list. It's the start of forgiveness, really. Like, there's nowhere that says you wrote the eighth list, the eighth step list. You don't have to hide anything on it. It's just a list. We get to pray on it. Nobody's telling you at this point, you have to go out and write this. It's suggested, and we'll get to that in the next couple of readings, but all we're really looking at is a list. And Vanessa talked about an index card, and, you know, I just pulled one, like one that I had, you know, so we have like a card and write the name of the person, a plus or a minus, if I'm willing to make it or not willing to make it. And then if I can contact them, if not, if they're still alive or not. And then, you know, what I have to realize is, and I ask myself, you know, the harm I caused, and we'll talk about the next couple things on my index card and Vanessa's in a couple of paragraphs. But the first thing I want to just be clear of, when I talk to somebody that's awake to this process, like my sponsor, is I make a giant list. And by the time I pray on it and get with somebody that's awake, I may not have to make every, what I may think's a harm may not be a harm. It may be my ego getting in the way, saying like, I've got to do something. So it's, again, we're just talking about a list right now, basic list. The people, a lot of it comes off of our inventory, but there may be some harms that come out that aren't associated with my inventory. There may be some stuff I've done to people that never showed up on my inventory. And then here's really a couple really important stuff to me. We go out to repair the damage done in the past. See, there's a transition now from the eighth step list to the ninth step. And that's why it's eight and nine here. So we're getting ready to go out to repair the damage done in the past. And again, I have to remember, why did I write inventory? To look at how disconnected from God I was. So it's telling me that we're going to attempt to sweep away the debris which accumulated out of my effort to live on self-will and run the show myself. See, this all goes back to like first step issues and to going to any length, really. You know, I have to remember why I'm doing this process at the end of the day is because way back in the way, way, way beginning, I conceded to my innermost self that I'm an alcoholic. And I still have to remember that concession to my innermost self. Because if I'm clear on what it means to be an alcoholic, the time and place will come if I don't change where I will pick up again. And it may not be tomorrow. It may not be next year. It may not be in 5 years. But if I don't change, I won't stay. And, you know, so it ends with, in, you know, in italics, what Vanessa said, that we would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol. Because why did I start this process? Not because I was disconnected from God. You know, that's the trick later on. See, in the beginning of the book, it tells me that the first promise of thousands of people who have recovered from alcoholism, then in the preface, it tells me that the precisely how we recovered is what's in this book. So, but I have to remember that I didn't come here to be connected to God. I came here because I couldn't stop drinking and I don't want to start again. I can't stop and I can't stay stopped. So just one thing, just always remember here when you're doing this process for the first time, or maybe you're going back again and you're going, this is just a list. And we're going to keep this list for a long time. And you just pray on the list, and when God finds it right for you to make amends, you will. So thank you, and we'll keep going.
Thanks, guys. And for the second reading, it is also on page 76. Probably there are still some misgivings. As we look over the list of business acquaintances and friends we have hurt, we may feel diffident about going to some of them on a spiritual basis. Let us be reassured. To some people, we need not and probably should not emphasize the spiritual feature on our first approach. We might prejudice them. At the moment, we are trying to put our lives in order. But this is not an end in itself. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. It is seldom wise to approach an individual who still smarts from our injustice to him and announce that we have gone religious. In the prize ring, this will be called leading with the chin. Why lay ourselves open to being branded fanatics or religious bores? We may kill a future opportunity to carry a beneficial message, but our man is sure to be impressed with a sincere desire to set right the wrong. He's going to be more interested in a demonstration of goodwill than in our talk of spiritual discoveries.
Okay. So first of all, Ian, I love what you said about spiritually separated. That is beautiful. I'm going to steal that from you rather than sick. And you made me think about that too, because, you know, in the fourth step, when we, there's that prayer with the realization, you know, where we're asking God, save us from being angry. This person is sick or separated, just like me, separated from God, from others, blocked, right? And save me from being angry, which I always think about, there's definitely a level for me of forgiveness in there. And I have to revisit that again here when I'm making this list and looking at this list of names. It says, we haven't gotten there yet, but it's going to talk about a forgiving spirit. Or maybe we, I don't know. Anyway, it's, I don't know if it's that we have to forgive the person, but why not, right? It's kind of how I look at it. If I can, great. If I can't, that's okay too, because maybe they really did something validly horrible. That's fine. But I'm not here to like delve into what the other person did, right? We're looking at our stuff. I want to be free. I can be free no matter what the other person is doing. We say that a lot in Al-Anon. I can be free no matter what the alcoholic is doing, right? I can be free no matter what any other person in the world is doing or not doing, whether they're behaving how I think they should behave or not, right? So I can be free. And, you know, when making the list, for me, it's like really important. And when I'm working with sponsees, I really try to put the emphasis on, like Ian was saying, this is a list. It doesn't mean that everybody you put on here, you're going to be making an amend to. I think some people do it that way. I don't do it that way. I say, make your list, put everybody down. You know, there's that thing of like, if you're walking down the street and you see that, I live in New York, so this is a really good example. But if you're walking down the street and someone's coming down the street and you're like, I got to cross the street, right? Or maybe if you're living somewhere where you drive all the time, maybe you go into the grocery store and, you know, you're in getting into line and you're like, see someone in front of you in the line that you're like, I don't want to talk to this person. You're like, oh, wow, I forgot to get some toilet paper or whatever. You know, like suddenly you have something else to do, right? And it's like, if there's someone in your life that you're having that reaction to, probably they need to be on this list, right? So you can look at that and just consider, like, is this someone that I harmed? Is there some unfinished business here that I need to pray about, that I need to take to God? And, you know, so I try to talk to them about doing that. And then this paragraph here is talking about going to, that we may feel hesitant, diffident, hesitant about going to some of them on a spiritual basis. So now we're starting to talk, this is why it's 8 and 9 is kind of combined in here, because it's sort of talking about how to approach while we're talking about the list. And you know, some people, for me, well, let me step back. For me, on the cards, I'm putting the person's name. I'm putting the harm that I caused them, right? And then I have some questions that I ask. And I don't know if we're to go into all of that or not, but Ian's saying yes. So what I wanna do is make sure that I have my bullet points okay. What I do is I write this stuff down on the card. I put my harms down. And I go through, and the first time I go through after I've written all those is I go through and I put them in piles. Who am I willing to do this with and who am I not willing to do this with? And I just start there. And then I like put the ones that I think I'm not willing, and I call it the not yet pile, because the yet is, there's promise in the yet, right? So I just say not yet, and not yet ready. And those people, those cards, I just push them to the side, forget about them for now, you know, don't even worry about it. And then I just take the willing pile and I just focus on those folks to start. Because the idea is, like, once, and this was true for me, once I did a few that were quote unquote easy, they just started to come, you know, and people would present themselves and I would be ready. And the way I get ready is I look at these cards and I look at the harm. And what I do, and I was instructed to do this, and I actually did it before that, even just kind of intuitively to some extent. But what I do is I look at it and I try to picture the person. And I just think about, like, being able to say this to them. If I'm really willing, like, can I sit and can I say this to this person? Even if they're past, right? I just visualize it. And I think about what I would say and I write that out. I used to be an actor, so for me, it's like helpful to write things out and kind of practice. And then if I do that, then I likely don't need my card. You know, I don't need anything. I can just be honest. But I need to make sure I'm honest first. So I write it out and I read that to my sponsor, you know, and my sponsor can help check me if I'm coming from a place that's like ego, or if I'm somehow sneaking in a little manipulative, well, because you did this, then I did this and I'm sorry about that. You know, like, that's not how I'm going to make my amend, right? So, because what I'm talking about doing here ultimately is mending my behavior. It says our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be maximum service to God and the people about us. And the people about us includes these people that I've harmed, right? So I want to be of maximum service. Whoa, you know, like, I'm going to be maximum service to that bitch that, you know, I used to work with, like, excuse my language, but you know what I mean? Like, I have to think about that and go, oh, how am I going to do that? Right. And, you know, and there's some people where I just would feel like, gosh, I really don't want to do this, but writing these things down and being ready and being willing, that's such a big part, because I found that some of those people that were on my, like, I don't want to ever do this, I took those cards too, and I wrote this stuff out and I read it and I was like, and I'm still not ready to do it, but it was there. So that when the day came that person I disliked that I worked with happened to be working out at the gym that I was at, I was able to go, okay, I'd like to say that I made the amends the first time I saw her there. I didn't. I went home and I, like, called my sponsor. I was like, oh my gosh, this person, I saw her and I know I need to make amends to her and I don't know what to do. I'm sure I'm going to see her there again. I had no way of getting contact with her. So I was like, yay, I have one. I have no way of getting in contact with her. I don't know where she lives. I don't know anything about her. I guess I just don't have to do that one. You know, not true. You can still make the amends even if you can't get in touch with the people, right? And we're mending behavior. So I think of it like, if someone's passed, for example, I usually do like a little ceremony for someone like that, but then also I'm mending my behavior. So whatever that harm was, I'm not going to do that anymore. And I have to think about that for every person I'm going to make amends to. Like, I can't go up to someone and say, you know, I'm sorry I wasn't showing up for you and I didn't show up for your birthday and I didn't show up for this and that and I'm sorry I didn't do that. And then 2 weeks later, not show up to something that I said I was going to go to, right? I can't, that's not, no. and even to others, you know, for me, it's like my amends when it's like, I see a harm, this is to this person and to others. So I'm mending the behavior all around, right? I have to pray to be ready for that. I have to pray a lot, you know, and really get good with my higher power. I always tell my sponsees, I'm sorry, I'm jumping around, but I always tell my sponsees that this is between you and God. I still recommend that they read them by me, because if they're anything like me, they're trying to get some lies in there, you know, and like, I need help telling the truth. I need help staying on my side of the street, you know, because there might be some people where I'm like, but I'm so mad that they did this thing. And then we have to work on the anger, you know? And remember, this is my amends for behavior I did, for harms that I did, right? I'm not getting into what the other person did. So there's a lot of meditation and prayer that goes into this. And I say to my sponsees, like, this is between you and God, but let's go over it. And sometimes there are those moments where it comes up that it's maybe something that is going to cause more harm. And I might not have seen that, but my sponsor can say, like, yeah, you know, reaching out to that ex-boyfriend, you know, that you had an affair with or whatever, like, when he just got married and had a baby, like, that's probably not appropriate, like, to do that, you know? So it's like, I can just then, like, know that this is an amends I need to take to God, ask God to take that. If I ever run into this person, I'm ready, right? But in the meantime, I am not going to do that behavior ever again, right? And that's the thing that I'm practicing for the rest of my life. I want to be free. So this person at the gym, like, you know, I went home and I just, you know, called my sponsor and I said, I know I'm going to see her there again and I'm going to do it. And this is what I'm going to say. And she said, okay. And so the next time I was at the gym and I saw her, I just took a deep breath. I was so scared. I took a deep breath and I just went into the locker room and I said, hey, Pixie, do you remember me? And it's Vanessa. And she said, yes. And I said, I behaved really poorly that last day at the bar. And I owe you an amends and an apology. I did owe her an apology also. And you know, it was so lovely and she was so lovely and it was brief, but I was honest and I left and I had, you know, I saw her after with her husband on the street and I was able to just be, I was on the street, like the example, right? Like they were coming at me and I was like, hi. It wasn't run across the street. It was, hi, how are you? Good to see you. Oh, the baby's cute and move on. And that is someone I definitely would have crossed the street to avoid. So it was like, I was able to be free, you know? And it was, and that was one of the ones that it was like, I'm not going to make this one. Like, I don't need to, I don't know, have her number. And God just said, yeah, you're ready. I'm going to put her in your gym, you know? So, I got off track, so I'm going to pass it to Ian. Go. I like this tag team.
It's all good. No, it's awesome. I love this too. So a couple things and then we'll move on. But if you have a big book and that statement Vanessa read isn't highlighted and underlined in your book, I suggest you do it because that's why we're here. To fit ourselves. Not just to be, but to get ourselves in the position to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. In the seven-step prayer, we go out to do God's bidding. And way back in the beginning of the book, you know, in There's a Solution, it tells me that our very lives as ex-problem drinkers depend on our constant thought of others, you know, and that we're to have respect for people and, you know, to love thy neighbor like thyself, you know, and it's not just the people in the rooms, it's all across the board. And, you know, later on in the paragraph, what was read is he is going to be more interested in a demonstration of goodwill than in our talk of spiritual discoveries. Walk the walk. You don't need to talk. You know, people see by actions, not by words. And so, I'm of the kind of person, like when I take someone through and I get to this process, I remind them of a few things. We're not here to fix a relationship. We're here to get them free of us. If God wants the relationship fixed, it'll happen. If we're trying to fix the relationship, then we're back in step three, trying to run the show. And what does God want us to be? To be his child. And how am I maximum service to him? To serve my father, to do the bidding, to help his children also. And that's how we move forward through this. That's how I don't have to tell people I'm a spiritual person. It's just like, I don't have to tell someone in work to trust me. You know, in my business, like if when someone says, trust me, that means I'm going to F you, you know, like, why do you have to tell me to trust you? You know, so that means I got to like get, you know, and I don't like to do that. And there's a couple things I like to bring right into this beginning. Okay. Is that I like to explain to them the difference between an apology and an amends. I'm sorry and an amends. If I bump into you in the subway, I can say I'm sorry and we move on. If I just damaged you or hurt you or stole from you, that requires an amends, and there's a big difference. And so in the nature of my work, we're in the real estate business, and we, you know, like, and this COVID time is a really great time to explain this, because what we did is we have leases all over the country with tenants that I'm responsible to manage, and people can't pay rent or stuff. And so we have a lease, that's a contract. And now I have to change the contract. So we make an amendment. And from that point forward, when they sign the contract and I sign the contract, the terms and conditions of the first contract are null and void. We're now working off a new contract. And that's how I like to look at the amends process. I'm changing my behavior, like Vanessa said, for not just for you, but for the future. And it's important to know the difference, because I've had people come make feeble amends to me, and I don't say anything because they're being guided by their higher power and their sponsor. And someone's like, oh, I stole money from you, I'm sorry. Okay. And I'm sitting there waiting. Okay. You know, and then that's it. Have a good day. I'm not sure. Did I freeze? I think, am I freezing? No, a little. And then the next part I'll share in the next paragraph. So we'll let the reading go on.
Awesome, guys. Thank you so much. You are killing it. All right. Reading number 3 is also on page 77. We don't use this as an excuse for shying away from the subject of God. When it will serve any good purpose, we are willing to announce our convictions with tact and common sense. The question of how to approach the man we hated will arise. It may be he has done us more harm than we have done him, and though we may have acquired a better attitude toward him, we are still not too keen about admitting our faults. Nevertheless, with a person we dislike, we take the bit in our teeth. It is harder to go to an enemy than to a friend, but we find it much more beneficial to us. We go to him in a helpful and forgiving spirit, confessing our former ill feeling and expressing our regret.
I gotta get quicker on the unmute. I love that real estate contract amendment thing, Ian. That's great. So I had to make an amend to this guy that I worked with. He was like a supervisor, sort of. I work in film, and so he was, you know, we'll just call him a supervisor. And man, did I not like this guy. You know, like, I didn't like his, like, moral ethic, like, I didn't, his soul. Just to put it lightly, right? But I had harmed him. I had made things difficult at the job. I had, this was actually a kind of chaos creating amends that I did. But it works here, so. And, you know, I just made things more difficult than they needed to be, basically. And I had to do a lot of work so that I could come at it from that forgiving spirit. And like I talked about before, it's like for me, it's like I really have been working on forgiveness a lot with people. I want to forgive. And I have to say today, like right now today, I am not harboring like ill feelings against anyone. Like there's no one in my life. there are people who do things that are like people things that I don't really like that they do these things. And it's like people being people. I have a sponsor that says that all the time. Yep, that's a person doing a person thing. And, you know, there's big world stuff that bothers me, but it's like, I don't have any ill will, right, today. And it's because I've done this work and I am free from that. Like holding on to grudges, resentments, hate, all of that stuff is what blocks me from God. And all of that stuff takes so much time. It's so exhausting. It robs me of my years, of my life, you know? I mean, it just takes up my brain space. And to be able to kind to just let that go, like really give that to God. And I know I'm talking about 6 and 7 a little more here, but it's just, and I have to go back. It's not like we just get to 8 and 9 and like, that's it, guys. We're like, I am constantly in my every single day going back to 1. First of all, I have to see I'm powerless. I cannot change other people. I can't make this person stop doing what I don't like about them. I got to focus on what I'm doing. I need to focus on my behavior. How can I mend my behavior? Part of what's going to help here is that I can put the other person out of my mind by like forgiving them, you know? And again, sometimes there's really horrendous things that people are going have gone through with someone that might be on this list. And, you know, that's a subject for another day, really. But know that there are special cases, that there are things that you can do to get through that. And maybe the thing is that you're just holding on to the resentment, and that's something that can be worked on. Maybe some forgiveness, and maybe you might need some outside help to help with that. But I'm just going to talk about more of the everyday kind of resentment or 8-step right now. And so there's those times where it's like this person that we dislike, and this guy I really disliked, you know, and I had to really work on it. And I had to say, like, how important is it that I be angry with him? How important is it that I hang on to this? And I had to ask myself that question and just be like, do I want to be happy or right? You know, it was one of those. And it's like, can I just let it be? And so finally I mustered up the courage and finally I wrote to him. And I believe he had a sense that I might be in program. And there are times that I go ahead and say to people like, you know, I'm in AA, or I don't know if you know I'm in AA, but this is, I owe you an amends. And, do you have time to meet with him? I can't quite remember. I either did that or I did my other thing, which is what I'll say if I'm not revealing that I'm in program. Then what I sometimes do is I say periodically, I look back over the year and I see where I've misstepped. And I see that I did misstep this year with you, and I feel I owe you an amends. Do you have time to meet for a coffee? When I first did my first round of eight-step amends, I said just the coffee part. Hey, do you want to get a cup of coffee? And then I sat down and I was like, hi, so how are you? What's going on? Okay, cool. So anyway, why I brought you here is because I have to make amends to you. Here's what I want to say, blah, blah, blah. Da, da. Do you have anything? You know, and we ask these questions like, is there anything that you want to share with me that you feel, you know, I left out, or something that hurt you that I might not be aware of that you want to share with me? And, you know, the person's like, what? I thought we were having coffee. You know, they're like, what the hell are you talking about? So I learned that it's not a bad idea to, just as I've had to prepare to meet with this person, maybe give them a heads up in case there is any preparation needed on their part, right? So they might not know what an amends is, and I can give them the opportunity, you know, my saying that in an email or on a phone call gives them the opportunity, if they so choose, to ask me questions, right? And what I'm doing by doing that is I'm practicing intimacy. Isn't that nice? We get to all these benefits that come out of this. I'm practicing how to communicate with people. I'm practicing intimacy. And so that's what I do before I then go meet with the person. I'm going to pass it to Ian. We'll kind of just take this in pieces, I guess.
Hey, I'm going to go off video and share for a second because I think I'm getting weak internet, so I don't freeze, and then I'll pop back on. So, okay, here's a couple of things to really take into consideration. I want the whole picture. It says the question of how to approach the man we hated. Not hate, hated. So that's clear that we went through a fourth step and we're not carrying the resentment still forward. So we may have hated that person at one point, but we hated him, but we don't hate him now. And the reason being is because Vanessa touched on it, you know, back in the early part of the third step, it talks about infinitely grave, kill, poison, all kinds of stuff like that to harbor resentments. It's the number one offender. And if I'm still harboring a resentment here at this point, it's a first step problem, not a fourth step problem. You know, that I'm not really clear on why I'm doing this. And the other thing I'm going to say about this rest of this paragraph, it's real simple. The Lord's Prayer, forgive. You know, if I want to be forgiven for my trespasses, I have to forgive those who trespass against me. Point blank. Like, I can't, it's not a one-way street. Like, I need to be forgiven, but I'm not going to forgive you. You know, so, and the truth is, if I'm clear, and Vanessa touched on it also, because there are circumstances, and I had some in my own life, where certain things happen to people. And, you know, I could hate them for the rest of my life and I'll be drinking poison, hoping they die. Like, I don't want to live like that anymore. I can't recreate an incident that happened 30 years ago, but I can live free today of it. I don't have to condone the behavior of somebody, but I don't have to carry it on my back either anymore forward. So if, you know, this is about getting free. And again, if we go back up to what our real purpose is, well, I can't fit myself to be of maximum service to God and the people about if I'm still hating people. And, you know, and here's the second, just a consideration. Is hating people blocking me from God, or am I hating people because I'm blocked from God? You know, it's kind of like the chicken or the egg. And so all the steps always intertwine to me that when I get to certain stuff, like at this point, I want to get free and I don't want to live like this. So let's keep moving on with reading.
All right, moving right along. The fourth reading, also on page 77. Under no condition do we criticize such a person or argue. Simply, we tell him that we will never get over drinking until we have done our utmost to straighten out the past. We are there to sweep off our side of the street, realizing that nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until we do so, never trying to tell him what he should do. His faults are not discussed. We stick to our own. If our manner is calm, frank, and open, we will be gratified with the result. In 9 cases out of 10, the unexpected happens. Sometimes the man we are calling upon admits his own fault, so feuds of years standing melt away in an hour. Rarely do we fail to make satisfactory progress. Our former enemies sometimes praise what we are doing and wish us well. Occasionally, they will offer assistance. It should not matter, however, if someone does throw us out of his office. We have made our demonstration, done our part. It's water over the dam.
Well, I'll just share quick on this so we can keep going. But I was thinking about, we don't want to tell other people what they did. You know, again, this is, if we're coming out this clear and in a forgiving spirit, then we're not going to be thinking about what that person did in their side of the street, right? We're going to stay on our own. And again, that's why I always pass it by my sponsor before I go ahead and meet with the person, because I just still, you know, my perception, I don't trust it. I still need that guidance of like, am I looking at this with clean, clear eyes. And that's really helpful for me. So, but what I want to give an example of one that I heard, right? So a friend of mine or someone I had been friends with, but hadn't spoken to in a long time came to me and made an amends. And, you know, she said, I'm sorry for kind of abruptly stopping the friendship. And basically, or she said that her behavior was such that she cut me off basically. And she kind of paused and asked if I had anything I wanted to say. And I just said, can I ask why? Like, I just don't understand why. And she said, yeah, that conversation we had where you said this. And she told me what I said. And I was like, I don't remember the conversation, but I believe what you said, I said is true. And I can tell you what that meant. And what she heard was not at all what I was saying. It basically was about a guy she had broken up with and he was active. And I said, oh, well, I'm not worried about you because you have a good program. I just worry about, you know, if he's got people in his life that he can go to. And she said, she felt very hurt by that. And I cleared up what I said. And I said, you know, this is what I meant by that. I didn't mean it at all against you, you know? And I said, I feel awful that you heard it that way, you know, and I could have been more sensitive. So I was able to listen really fully to what she was saying to me. Here, when she told me what I said, I really didn't remember the phone call, but I could tell it was something I might have said. And I was like, oh, wow, I can hear how that might have sounded to her in that state, right? And I was able to then say to her, like, wow, I will never do that again. You know, I will be much more conscious when we're talking. And I hope that we have the opportunity to talk more, you know, and it was really great because then after that, I was able to like call her anytime, didn't feel weird about it. Prior to that, I had been like, why doesn't she want to talk to me anymore? I was so confused, you know? So it's from the other angle, but that has happened for me, you know? So I'll pass it to Ian.
Okay, so here's where I want to introduce some stuff that I like to do because we're starting to talk about shift from the eighth step to making amends. So A, I don't send sponsees out and tell them, here's your stack, call me when you're done making amends. Because that's to me, and I've had that in the past. And, you know, amends are about between you and God and when you're supposed to make them. And I don't read a script when I make an amends, and I don't tell anybody that I take through this process that they have to read a script. It's real clear a few things. It's not like, hi, I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and if you don't listen to this amends, I'll drink again. How selfish is that? You're telling them they have to do this so you don't drink. My drinking's not their problem. What's their problem is they crossed in my path when I was separated from God and drinking and I harmed them. And my responsibility is to take responsibility for my actions. And whether they want to hear it or not is not my business. Because sometimes people need to wait a little while. They need to see, you know, like how about when you make your fourth amends to the same person for the same thing you did after four times going through the 12-step process? Like, you know, or so there's a couple things. Bill says it clear in his story. He says that he made a list of people he'd hurt and or toward whom he had felt resentment. He expressed his entire willingness to approach these individuals, admitting my wrong. Never was I to be critical of them. I was to right all such matters to the utmost of my ability. So there's some words that get really cross-mingled in 12-step rooms, like my side of the street. I'm going to sweep off my side of the street. So what's that look like? I call you to make amends. You don't want to talk to me. And I come back to my spot. Oh, I swept off my side of the street. No, that's not what, you know, sweeping off my side of the street is taking responsibility for my actions. It has nothing to do. There's no but in an amends. You know, like, how about this? you know, I want to apologize to you, but you did this to me, you know, like, so I'll give you an amends and then you give one back to me, you know, and then we can move on. So for me, sweeping off my side of the street starts when I take responsibility for my action, period. So there's a couple things that Vanessa and I both do. And so the first thing I have to be clear on is this. In the fourth step, I saw my truth. I can't differentiate the truth from the false. So just like the person Vanessa shared something about, I can dilute anything to anybody and I can self-justify it. So I may be clear on a harm, but that may not really be the harm. It's just what I'm clear on. So when we make amends, I ask a few questions. One, I'll let them know that I'm here, you know, to take responsibility for something I think I did, or I may have did, or I know I did. Like if I stole money, that's pretty clear. I took money from you, you know, but if I've done something else and it's kind of vague, but I know you're upset about it, or it's not sitting well in me, I need to deal with this. So, but the truth is, I have to ask them these three questions. Are there any other harms that I have caused which I'm not aware of? Because I may not be aware of what I did. Second question is, do you need to tell me how this hurt you or affected you? Or do you want to? Because someone might want to say, hey, I can appreciate you taking responsibility. Now, I'll give you a perfect example of an amends of somebody that happened. This guy broke into a next door neighbor's house and stole money. So in his mind, he took the money and he wants to give it back. But when he asked this question, the woman said, well, yeah, I do want to tell you something. Because you took that money, I couldn't give my children Christmas presents because I didn't have the money. So that ripple effect is a lot greater than just I took money and here's it back. Well, that woman couldn't give her children Christmas presents. And then the third question is there anything I can do to correct or right this wrong? And sometimes there's nothing we can do. And sometimes there is. And sometimes people want us to do something that we really can't do. And so I always have to come back and tell them I'll get back to it. Then the other thing is at the end of the reading, it's water over the dam. Okay, I'm just gonna preface something here that I may have prefaced last week too. You guys read beautiful saying at part of page 164. They wrote this book. Yeah. I know there's people on this call that have been around this process for a long time. I know Vanessa and I have been in this process at least 3 or 4 times the amount of time Bill was when he wrote this. And some of these people had 60, 90, 120 days contributing to this book. They say it clearly that they only knew a little, that God's going to disclose more to you and to us. This isn't about water over the dam. You know, sometimes this requires a lifelong cleanup of changing my behavior. And, you know, hundreds of times in this book, it goes back way, keeps going back. Roland Hazard was told by Carl Jung that his ideas, emotions, and attitudes needed to be cast to one side and new guiding forces, and new conceptions and motives need to come in and dominate them. I messed it up a little bit, but the gist of it is clear that this is not just me and you. This is changing my behavior for the rest of my life. And
Ian, we lost your sound. I don't know if your headphones are out. Why don't we go
back? Can you hear me now?
Oh, yes, we can.
Okay, so it's a video. So I'm not sure where you lost me, but I'm going to say that I don't set. So when I'm dealing with somebody, we go through the 8-step list. We write the index cards, and then I have them pray on them. I ask them if there's anything immediate that they'd like to take care of right away and pray on that first. But then I just constantly be hard to pray on him and let God bring you. I may have lost you guys again. Okay, I'm losing you again.
No, we can hear you.
All right, let's go. I'll let you read on. Okay, so I don't want to force people out to just make amends. So they're just making amends to get to a goal line or a finish line so they can raise their hand and say they made all their amends, but they're still doing the same behaviors, but they could say they've made all their amends. I'd rather somebody make two amends and be living in a totally spiritually different life and making the amends as they come along than come back to me and say, here, I made all these amends and they're still not nice people and they're still not living the way they should live. So I don't buy the water over the dam thing for me. And I'll pass on.
And I think we really did a horrible job.
You did not do a horrible job. It was absolutely fantastic. We are out of time.
Oh, no.
So we're going to pass the seventh tradition basket. I'm going to post the link in the chat. And the seventh tradition states, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It's both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their inner group and central office, local services, district, area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Our common welfare, a word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meetings can take place. Announcements. Do we have any AA-related announcements? I will make it so that you can unmute yourself. Anybody? No? Nothing going on in AA? All right. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hand. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, we will be available here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to any of us or email us at info@simpleactions.net. I'm going to let everybody unmute as well to thank our phenomenal panel tonight.
Thank you.
You guys were awesome.
Yeah, we're sorry we went so long. Thank you
so much.
Thank you. Pleasure to have y'all 2 weeks in a row. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. That was perfect. Thanks, Ian. Thanks, Vanessa.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Good job, Shannon.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
I was not watching the clock at all. I apologize.
It's totally fine.
No worries.
Time flies when you're having fun.
I will work on that behavior.
And I've asked BJ to read the last two paragraphs on page 164. I'll throw that up for you, BJ.
My name's BJ. I'm an alcoholic. And a vision for you, big book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you, BJ. And for those who choose, we will close the meeting with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Whoop, whoop.
Thanks,
that was everybody. Awesome. Thank you.
I was really terrified that I was going to mess up the word there.
Thank you both again.
You did a great job, Shannon.
Thanks.
Thank you, guys.
Fantastic. Thanks again for coming out. That was awesome, guys.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having us. It was really great.